How would you like to discover the path to awakening and higher consciousness? Aaron Scott will tell us how to do it. What's special about Aaron is that he is the author of the upcoming book, The Architecture of Awakening, and with close to 2 decades of professional experience on Wall Street, podcast host of Evolve Podcast as well. So tell us, Aaron, what is the path to awakening and higher consciousness? And what does that even mean?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu, mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, sure. A lot there to tackle, but I'll do my best. So, you know, I think that kind of one of the biggest misnomers, or you know, kind of an area of kind of an evolved consciousness or spirituality, these kind of endeavors, I think it's kind of misunderstood, where it's kind of like you pursue these things in kind of like some other dimensional realm and you're transcending this plane, things of that nature. My kind of effort, if you will, is to add a practical layer to the dialogue and to explain to people that, you know, these metaphysical concepts, spirituality, you know, even kind of as direct as ideologies that we inherit from, you know, either our, you know, indoctrination or through kind of just living life and going through just the practical day to day of a job and kind of like identity. These are really kind of like the places that we need to start with this dialogue. And I work really hard to kind of discuss where we form identity and what that identity means for us as far as how we live our lives, where we decide kind of the right path is. So my kind of effort in elevating consciousness and awakening people is to ask them to question themselves, how they identify, what is it that they place the most value on, things of that nature.
Thank you. Tell us about your experience of awakening and what triggered that and what even made you feel that you had an awakening.
Yeah. So look, you know, in your introduction, I've spent close to 2 decades on Wall Street. I've really kind of bought into the whole system, if you will, of, you know, working hard and really forming an identity around my profession and, you know, how much money I had and who my friends were and things like that. Even, you know, even to take it a level deeper, oftentimes people form their identity around even just kind of like their thoughts and emotions, right? Which is in many ways not really who you are, right? You have thoughts, you have emotions, but they don't necessarily need to dictate who you are. And really in my growth process or just my path of life, I hit like a couple like, you know, kind of like breaking points where I said to myself, you know, what am I doing? I kind of questioned my reality. I questioned the reality that we all live. And I said, you know, maybe this isn't the right path. And not just for me, but in general, maybe there's something more here to the story. Maybe we need to question, again, sort of indoctrinated beliefs that we assign divinity to, right? And reshape and rethink what it is that has propelled us. And I know that I, again, kind of said to myself, you know, this isn't everything. This isn't life. This isn't really what it's all about. It can't be what it's all about. It's too much of kind of like a rat race. There's too much focus on, again, accumulation and status and things of that nature. So, you know, I kind of went through this quote unquote awakening, if you will, and it led me down a path to, again, question, kind of reach heightened levels of curiosity, and then to kind of look into, again, what formed my identity, what formed my values and my belief systems. And then I kind of, you know, did a deep dive there. And again, in my book, my upcoming book, I talk about what that looks like and what other ways of shaping individual identity as well as sort of societal global consciousness might look like if we were to reshape or rethink some of these, you know, some of these beliefs.
Thank you. So let's say someone is not at a super high level of success. Where should they be looking in terms of like starting to awaken to their full potential and to reach that level of like higher consciousness? Because I think to some extent, when you are, let's say you are doing well on every area of your life, you know, I think that maybe you have the luxury in a way to kind of look at what else, you know, what else is out there? What else can I achieve? And, you know, whereas maybe if you've not reached a certain level of success, you're still kind of like struggling. You're still like, you know, trying to pay bills and you're still not quite there where you want to be. Like, what is the solution? Like, what should someone like that do?
Yeah, look, so I think another thing that I really kind of dive into, and this can get kind of deep, but I go into, the fact that this isn't just for the person who has leisure time, right? This isn't like a leisure activity. In my opinion, a lot of these kind of consciousness practices should be part of our daily routine, right? So it's standard to go out for drinks after work or to, you know, to indulge in this and that after you've completed something. You know, we should be, doing breath work or meditating on a consistent basis. It's healthy, right? But it's not common practice, right? So this is not kind of like just for the people who have that luxury. And you know, I talk about other ways that this transcends planes, where an individual who, you know, has success, material success, performative success, if you will, right, has reached certain goals. Everybody knows the saying, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness, right? So once you reach those goals, once you reach that goal, so you're trying to make $10 million, 20, whatever it is, then what? I mean, talk to anybody, you can ask me. It doesn't satiate everything. It doesn't cover everything. There's still something missing, right? There's still something lacking. And this is not, again, a unique conversation. So again, a big part of kind of what I do is I look into why we value kind of that performative lifestyle and what it is that we're missing and what is it that we are still looking to gain when we've reached those levels of success, right? And what you find is that there's a real sort of spiritual lacking, and this is something that I go into in greater detail in my book, but I try to map out really a path where no matter where you are in life, no matter what your goals are, external goals are, how you can embody these higher levels of consciousness, incorporate them in your daily life, and then kind of allow you to reframe and rethink, right, a lot of these things. A lot of people, Lily, I'm sure as you know, they kind of like walk around in many ways kind of asleep, right? They're kind of products of habit and reaction, and there's no really deep kind of inquiry. There's no curiosity into origin stories or kind of peeling back layers. So again, I try to push the envelope and get people to start questioning and try to find, again, greater meaning in their life.
Thank you. Tell us about the architecture of awakening and what is your blueprint for someone to start finding their path to awakening and higher consciousness?
Yeah. So in the book, I kind of at the onset, I talk about the first part's called The Fracture. And I talk about where we have as a society, especially in the West, where we have taken on a lot of our inherited beliefs through indoctrination, through religion, through even just kind of like economic systems, through capitalism, right? The capitalist mindset. And what I do is I kind of deconstruct that for people. And I show them that, a lot of what we identify as who we are, we've taken on from previous generations or just didn't question things, right? Like, as simple as, if you're born into a religion, someone identifies with being Christian or Muslim or Jewish, right? Like, you didn't make a conscious decision to take on that belief system. You were born as a Christian, Jew, or Muslim, and you then kind of like figured ways to incorporate that into your life, and you made that an important part. But oftentimes people don't really look deeper. Yeah, they'll turn to like scripture and things of that nature, but they don't kind of go to the origin story. So I go into the origin story of a lot of again, systems that we embody consciously. Things like, our education system in the States was founded by industrial capitalists, right? And they used the Prussian model, and it was really done to create docile workers who would serve industrial purpose, right? So, but what does that do to kind of like the human psyche? What does the education system do to a child who's kind of taught right versus wrong, pass versus fail, you know, a digestion of information, but never questioning belief, right? So I go through and I kind of break that down, and I hopefully give people perspective and say, look, you know, maybe some of these things that I assume to be, you know, just the way life is, or that I assume to be correct because I have grown up in that system, right? So I kind of break that down, and then I talk about, you know, once you come to kind of terms with maybe your disconnection or your misidentification, what that looks like and how you can kind of still live in this world with kind of a heightened level of consciousness and awareness. And then I kind of map out a roadmap where people can incorporate a lot of these different ways of looking at relationships, of looking at yourself, of looking at your day-to-day, you know, routine. And then I kind of bring it all home with a kind of recalibration and a reassessment on things as kind of deep as the true nature of the divine and, you know, life's purpose, and, you know, the evolution and revolutionary constructs that come with that. So it's I think the structure is nice. It has a nice arc because it gives people some information, and then it gives them, again, a path that ends with a kind of a real new perspective shift. I think it will be transformative for a lot of people who are kind of like looking for deeper meaning and looking for answers to questions that they kind of thought about and didn't really address, you know, kind of proactively.
Thank you. Tell us about some routines and habits that entrepreneurs could leverage in order to lead themselves to trigger an awakening.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I think that a lot of I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I think that in speaking with a lot of entrepreneurs, I think that they kind of like a lot of people do this already, right? Because in many ways, an entrepreneur is kind of going out and embarking on a journey that's kind of like outside the system, right? It's either creating something new, it's innovating, it's trying to, you know, create a new path. And that takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of drive and a lot of strength. So, you know, things as simple as, you know, affirmations, just kind of like motivating yourself and reminding yourself that, you know, you can control your mindset. You can decide, you know, what path you want to be on mentally. Things as simple as, you know, again, meditating, things as simple as, you know, creating kind of like small rituals where, you know, you're able to just kind of like settle within yourself after a long day, whether it's lighting a candle or, you know, journaling, just stuff like that. Stuff where like you can kind of decompress and you can remove yourself from the, you know, the kind of craziness and the hecticness that you went through in your day. Because for an entrepreneur, you're kind of, you know, you're all over the place, right? You're pushing all the buttons, and it's difficult at times to kind of like recalibrate. And I also talk about, you know, how we talked about kind of like going out and drinking or, you know, recreational drugs, things of that nature. You know, maybe those aren't the best ways to kind of like calm down and relax and kind of like engage socially. Maybe there are better ways. Maybe it's through, again, breath work or meditation or putting on Hertz, you know, things of that nature. So really kind of like trying to give people another perspective and kind of like pushing them and saying, look, you know, give it a try, see what that yields, see if this path, you know, might open something else up for you. Maybe it's pulling you or pushing you in a better.
Thank you. I've had other guests who've talked about how we already know what we need to do, but we just need to like awake ourselves and then remember that we actually know what to do. And we basically, all we need to do is just to remember. What's your opinion around that? Is it your opinion that people need to remember who they really are, and that's the thing that will trigger their awakening?
Yeah, Lily, this is a kind of like the linchpin question. I'm so glad you asked it, because it's my belief that, again, when you're kind of growing up in this society and you have to kind of, you know, you kind of rise up through these systems, oftentimes you're not able to kind of, you know, go after your dreams. You're not able to go after the things that really satiate you, right? So let's say you're a fabulous writer or a fabulous artist, but you know, the practicality of expenses and paying for things, you know, so you kind of push it aside. I'll get back to it once I make enough money, or, you know, so you go work for a computer company or whatever it is, right? As a means to an end. The biggest life hack, I believe, is in aligning with what actually drives you, what your real passion is. That's the life hack. And I can get into it on kind of like a metaphysical level. I can get to it on, you know, kind of like on more of like a divine level or a sacred level, but you know, net, that is the secret. And it's kind of quite simple when you think about it, right? Because if you're doing something that you feel you have purpose doing, if you're doing something that really, that gets you up motivated every morning, right? It's not work. You're enjoying your life. And even if you quote unquote fail, you're not failing, right? You're learning. And it's about keeping the right mindset. It's about staying obviously optimistic and, you know, keep pushing forward. But as long as you're anchored in your true passion and in your true drive, it's the way to do it. It's the way to kind of overcome a lot of these issues that I think many people face.
Thank you. Why is it so important to actually have fun in this life? Why is that so critical to awakening and higher consciousness?
Yeah. So, let's kind of take a step back, right? Let's think about it. Let's say you're in a profession, you're like grinding out, you're working, I don't know, 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week. You barely have time for your kids. You're going through this and, you know, I'm just doing this to get to this point. You know, in a month I'll be okay. And in 2 years I'll be okay. In 5 years, I'll be, and you're sacrificing your waking hours for this endeavor, right? For your ambition, right? Well, what if you never get there? What if you've sacrificed 20 years of your life or 40, you know, and you've sacrificed your meaningful relationships, you've suppressed your drive, right? You hear so many times, you know, when from senior citizens, especially, you know, like the, you know, don't miss out on the things that are important. I had regrets. I wish I didn't work so hard. Right. So like these are real kind of realizations. These are real awakenings that happen too late in life. It's quite obvious to me that, you know, the purpose of our life is not to be this sort of like myopic, mechanized consciousness where we're just striving for external goals, for external aims. It just doesn't make sense. We're here to enjoy and experience this reality, this consciousness, right? We have a short period of time. It doesn't seem like when you're in it, you know, oh, living to 80, 90 years, but it's really not that much time in the grand scheme of things, right? So it's important, again, to, and I believe in this this tenet, is to have balance across all planes. It's important to pursue your desires, your ambitions, but it's important to have an anchor in something that's bigger than that. Because at the end of the day, again, money doesn't buy happiness. You're never going to satiate this endless appetite. It's never going to happen. It just doesn't happen. You know. So it's so crucial to be anchored in something that's, you know, what's real, that isn't anchored in illusion.
Thank you. Tell us about your life purpose and what did you discover and how did you awaken to this life purpose, that this was the real life purpose versus maybe other things you thought you were supposed to do before?
Yeah, look, I think that this kind of effort is not, doesn't have to be kind of like someone's life purpose, right? They don't have to drop everything and then pursue, you know, helping kind of like awaken a global consciousness, right? I do other things. I'm also still an investor. I just founded a alternative therapeutics company that deals with a lot of unmet needs, with some really kind of groundbreaking technologies. But in any event, it's what I believe in. It's what my passion is, right? It's about not necessarily pushing off the entire, you know, material world and the material goods and the drive, but it's about combining these things, right? So with my career on Wall Street, especially, it was so kind of skewed to this left brain way of life where you're just like pushing and you're grinding and it's never enough, right? You're just caught. And I had severed so many parts of my life that were so important to me. And I was consciously doing it. But over the year, you know, as you kind of go through year after year after year, quarter after quarter after quarter, you're kind of like, okay, you know, like fool me once, you know, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice. You know, you kind of wake up and you're kind of like, listen, this isn't what it's all about. The job might go away. The company might go bankrupt. And what about all of the things that really should be important, right? So it's about blending these two. And this is really kind of what I've taken on as my structure for living my life.
Thank you. How can someone discover their life purpose? And do you believe that we have like a common life purpose, or do you believe that every person has his own interpretation of a life purpose?
Everybody for sure has their own interpretation of a life purpose. And I think that everybody needs to find their own purpose. It's unique to them. This isn't like a dogmatic discussion, right? It's unique to them. And kind of back to what we were talking about before, it's about finding what keeps you ticking, what drives you, what your passion is. That to me, if you can align with that, that's your life purpose. That's what's important. It doesn't have to be just kind of based on a job or an occupation. But if you truly desire, you know, time with your children, if you truly desire painting or sculpting, you know, whatever it is, hiking, you know, incorporate that into your life, incorporate that into your routine, because your daily routine is your life, right? That's your life. It's not relegated to, everybody has a unique purpose and a unique drive, and it's about embracing that. And I think that there are common threads, however, sort of common scaffolding that I think thread everybody's, and this can go into kind of, you know, ideology and you know, a metaphysical conversation, but there are certain ways to incorporate real kind of divine principles like rhythm and balance, you know, stuff that we aren't consciously aware of that exist, you know, in the world around us, whether it's, you know, the balance of ecosystems in the environment, right? Like, we're part of the universe. We're part of nature. We're not outside of nature, right? Our, you know, getting deeper here, like our microbiome is part of the nature around us. Our, you know, we breathe in oxygen from trees, right? So we're not separate from everything. And everything around us, from like the galaxies to nature, there's a sacred rhythm and a sacred pattern to things. And the more we kind of detach from those things, you'll find the more kind of chaotic our internal life gets. So it's adhering to a lot of these kind of you know, ancient teachings and knowledge that have kind of been pushed aside as we've quote unquote evolved. And it's about kind of keeping that in the back of your mind and then pursuing again what drives you. That to me is a great framework for kind of understanding and answering your question.
What changed since you did discover your awakening and your life purpose? What changed in terms of like your daily habits, or how you see yourself, or how you saw your colleagues, or how you saw your, I don't know, your close relationships?
Yeah. Another great question. So for me, it was really a shedding of the ego, where, you know, we, so many of us, most of us, all of us, right, have to contend with our ego. But for most of us, it's the driving factor. It's the governor of our consciousness. We are concerned with what other people think. We are concerned with our status versus other people. We are concerned with even deeper, kind of, you know, making money to survive and using our ego as kind of like that compass or that engine. When you're living your life in survival, you're not able to embody your whole self. You're cut off, right? You're not allowing yourself to step in. So it was really, for me, it was really a shedding of the ego and saying, you know, like, let's stop using the outside world as kind of like my compass. That's kind of like what I should be looking at to determine what my worth is or what my drive is or who I am, right? Many people, starting as a young child, you know, parents are like, oh, my son's going to be the next CEO, or I want to be the president, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor. Like, these are not, you know, epiphanies. These are not revelations. These are kind of ideas that you take in from people that you care about, your parents, and just kind of the way society is, right? So it was about shedding that as the main driver of my consciousness and looking deeper and, you know, embracing who I really am and not caring, right, about these superficial kind of illusory things.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
They can connect with me. I have a podcast right now. It's called The Evolved Podcast. It's not a host guest show. I dive into a lot of the constructs of our society. I talk about them. I reveal a lot of truths. I give a lot of new perspective on things. I talk about everything from, you know, the way that college education and university system is structured. I look at the way we've constructed things like the American dream. I talk about, you know, our identity, living in the world. So all sorts of things, really, I think, really interesting for your viewers. And I have my book coming out. Hopefully it'll be out in the next couple months. And right now the cursory title is The Architecture of Awakening. I'm kind of going back with my publisher, who has some, you know, higher ideas on what that should be. But those are two great ways they can connect.
Thank you. Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.